Welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the Friday Mac show. Unashamedly Mac, big fanboys here. And we've got a week of talking about what's happened last week in Apple that we didn't cover that's going to come along and affect us all for the future. It's been a slow week for Apple, a very slow week. Big announcements come out, everyone's gone quiet. But of course today is the day where the iPad comes out. So we are hoping, against hope, that Don McAllister, who is stood in the Fifth Avenue line, will be dialing in on our Skype and will be giving us a live interview from Fifth Avenue, which technologically wise, that just blows me mind. So we'll have to wait and see if that happens. But in the meantime, our fabulous quadrant of people helping us is going to be here. Top left, we've got Will Green, who is not on video thanks to some bastard who stole his video equipment. How are you doing, mate?
I'm all right. I'm back home. I've got a cat on my lap, which is nice. So you might hear some purring. And also, can I say, at this juncture in the podcast, I think it's appropriate that we get it out into the open straight away. Beaujolais from the Co-op is probably the best wine I think I've ever tried.
A Beaujolais from the Co-op?
A Beaujolais from the Co-op.
It's price?
About £4, and it's blooming lovely.
There you go. That's me. That's his pick for the week, without a doubt.
That's it. That's me done now. Can I go now?
Yeah, definitely.
Beaujolais fair trade French farmers.
I like the Co-op because they're pretty ethical, aren't they?
Yeah, it can't beat workers' wine.
Yeah. Yeah, come the revolution.
Yeah.
Come the revolution.
Solidarity.
Brothers. Your audio's clipping just a little bit, Will, if you've...
I'm sure I can sort that out. Sorry, as you know, I've... How about that? Is that better?
Much better, yes. We've got a bit of an impromptu setup for you today, but at least you're here, mate. I'm glad you're getting back on your feet, and stuff who edited it. I hope the police catch him and string him up from a tree.
I hope so.
Yes. Next to him, we've got Mr. Alex Fox, our resident guru on photography, who does the photo show with us and has manfully stepped up the plate to help us out with the Mac. But big Mac user as well, mate.
I am a big Mac user, but I'm not a big Mac eater.
No. So, how's the week been for you, mate?
It's been very, very good for a change.
Good lad.
I'm nice tired on a Friday, and it's because I've been working, which is lovely.
We're on the way up. That's the way. Below him, slightly wet around the feet from the tsunami. He's Kyle Swagger. Are things all right in the Philippines, mate? Or
we are dry. My apologies for. I think the internet is actually getting a little bit worse around here because you guys are not as clear as you were even a while ago. But Japan has definitely got the worst of it. So little prayers for all of our listeners in Japan. That's for sure.
So Philippines has got a bit of a problem with the internet connection, apparently, on the west side of the island. But generally, you're unscathed in terms of infrastructure and...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, thoughts to everyone who's out there who's washing and mopping up at the moment, because it must be bloody horrible, let alone if you've had something tragic happen. And Dr. Happy Mac, for the happy note, Andrew Stevens, how you doing, mate?
Good afternoon. Yeah, good stuff. Popping back to the tsunami thing, and there's some horrific video on the BBC News website of that, you know, aerial footage. I've never seen anything like it before. This water marching and all these people in cars trying to drive ahead of it. Just horrific.
20 foot high.
Mm.
Good
madness.
Grief.
Yeah. 10 meters. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah.
An enormous amount, isn't it? Anyway,
yeah.
The week in Apple news. Bugger all. Absolutely bugger all. It's Steve Wozniak said that he thinks that Apple are going to go on pretty well without Steve Jobs, which when your best mate says, no, you're on the way out, I think it's probably a bad sign. Xcode is available to everybody in the App Store, so you don't have to be a developer anymore. If you fancy having a play with Xcode, it's $4.99. Go and have a play. And also, Microsoft are having a bit of a fight with them because they reckon that they can't trademark the word app, and that's still rumbling on. And now Microsoft have resorted to the fact that the font size is too small for a trademark, which to me seems dragging the barrel.
Very Microsoft. It seems very Microsoft.
Absolutely.
And I have an issue with that.
Because?
Microsoft, you buggers. Because you are the people in your cheese-pairing, cheap and cheerful way, foisted the font Arial onto us because you were too cheap to spring for the license for Helvetica when you released Windows. And if you've inflicted Arial on us just to save a few pennies, then anything that you do that even mentions the word fonts is just null and void.
I've got to say, there's a license fee for Helvetica.
There is. Oops. If you want to use it like that. Yeah, all fonts.
Oh, dear.
Can I jump to the defense of Microsoft?
Go on, then. Oh, bloody hell. All right, go on then.
Oh, I know.
You might lose listeners, but go ahead.
Well, I got to be honest. I think Apple have got the cheek of the devil to try and copyright or protect or whatever their plans are, the word app.
Yes.
Which for me is as generic as you can get. Application, app store. You know, it's just, I think it's rather... it's rather
well. The problem is
it's rather un-English of them. That's all I'm going to say.
Which for a Californian firm's kind of all right, really, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is, but it just seems a bit greedy to try and copyright the word app.
Isn't everyone doing this though? Because don't Facebook own the word face and the word book?
And Zuck.
And no. Suck.
And Berg.
They're all doing it. They're all trying to earn themselves this, you know, because our product revolves around this, surely that's our word now, just because we're successful. And you can't take something out of the dictionary and swear blind it's yours. Now, I'm not sure whether app is in the dictionary or not, but are they trademarking app or just app store?
Well, I own you in Rankin, don't I?
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
I wondered why I couldn't buy that.
So, to be honest, mate, anytime anybody says hello to you, they owe me some money.
Is that what that quid you gave me for?
Only
that
if he replies.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I can only.
Well, anyway, I don't know anything about this because I'm certainly not the font of all knowledge.
Oh, dear.
There you go. That's taken me 5 minutes.
We haven't got a symbol splash, unfortunately. Oh, I have. Hang on. I've got a symbol splash. Let me just.
How well this is put together. This is amazing, mate.
This is absolutely slick as a slick thing. There we go. Hang on. There we go. Thanks to GarageBand. Took a bit of a while, but I'll have to edit that symbol splash so it's a bit closer.
Yeah, like 10 minutes closer.
There we go. Right, let's start on the important stuff. GarageBand. Have we all had a play with GarageBand for iPad? I know you haven't, Kyle, but sorry, mate.
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't. You're the only musician here, really, that's you're the only published musician, I think. Will's a heavy musician, aren't you, mate?
I didn't know. Can I... This is news to me. Can I get GarageBand on my iPad then?
It was out this morning, mate. So forgive you for not playing, having had a play with it, perhaps.
But how much is it?
It's £2.99.
Ooh.
An absolutely incredibly high price. But it is, well, I don't know what to say. I've downloaded it this morning, and the reason I was late for the photo show is because I was screwing around with it. And it's just...
I didn't know that.
It was just... that's it. Can you all hear this?
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit and play entire chords by hitting the top part of the bar. Or you can sit and play them with individual notes. But the best bit is when you do individual notes, because you can actually play the notes on a fret. And you can bend and vibrato, and it all happens in real time. It's like the string is actually stuck to your finger. It's incredible. And then the best bit of all is if you want to do a bit of picking instead of strumming, it's got presets already built into it that'll do it for you. There you go.
Yeehaw!
So now the thing that's really good about this is every week on the photo show, Alex throws a hissy fit over the fact that it's getting too easy to be a photographer because all the technology is doing all the work that we had to learn how to do in a dark room and with the shutter and all that kind of stuff far too easily. But what you've got here, Kyle, is something that means that you don't have to learn an instrument.
I know.
Which is really a pain in the backside.
It's making musicians obsolete. Thank you. For pointing that one out.
Mate, this thing is just incredible. You know, you want to start playing guitar, a hard rock guitar riff or something like that. You preset it, and it sits and plays it. It's just too easy. And then the electric guitar with the overdrive on and stuff. It's It's ridiculous.
You can play some Purple Haze.
No, I don't know. I don't think it's quite up to that kind of level yet, though. I can certainly put it a light if that's what you want. I'd put a little bit of lighter fluid on it, and away we go.
There we go.
But all I've done so far is one cymbal splash in the drums, a little tinkle on the piano, and then I've sat and played with the guitar. And I haven't even got into the bass. I haven't got into the smart piano, the smart drums, the audio recorder, the sampler. This for £2.99.
Well, to me, it's the ultimate demo tool for a musician. I mean, personally, I wouldn't use the guitar when if you have the capability of attaching a mic to the thing or something like that. I would still prefer to use a real instrument. I'm hoping that it has the same sort of effect like the games like Guitar Hero did or Rock Band, where kids get interested in this kind of thing and then they want to play the real instrument, hopefully. But I think as an app itself, for actually building like a sequence or doing just a slight demo, I think it's fantastic, actually. I think, the portability, it goes way, like I said, I think I said this last week, it goes well beyond that four-track Tascam.
Yeah.
One of the things I do like about it is, in the same way as when home recording and microphones and scratching and various things became, it obviously there is a modicum of skill to it, but it wasn't, you had to spend 5 years at music school before you could do these things. What that did do, it really pushed the creativity along. You know, just because you can't play a musical instrument, it might be because you've never been given the opportunity. And this will give people without necessarily the opportunity to learn one who may have that creative spark in them, which will lead us to the next greatest thing. And I think this sort of thing is what's going to lead the future. You're still going to need proper musicians to play it on stage, and you're going to still need proper musicians to put it together. But the actual imagination that this is going to allow people to open up is amazing.
Well, you soon changed your tune once your own.
I know.
Art's
I was
been...
thinking about that as I said it, and I was thinking, yeah, why not give someone else a kick in? It's normally us photographers.
Yeah, you bloody hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly. It's a talking point.
Anyone else? Will, you're a musician. Have you gone and been downloading it while we were waiting there? Or
I sort of am. Actually, I'm just looking at. Well, I'm looking at the. I'm looking at it. To be honest, I've downloaded quite a few of these type of things to have a look at them, but I find them a little bit frustrating, if I'm truthful. And yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not convinced. But I think for $2.99, it's great. I think there's probably a little bit of a sort of a musician snobbishness in me, I suppose, which is a bad thing. And I agree with everybody who says it probably will open up sort of creative channels to people who are new to music, which it can only be a good thing, isn't it? Isn't it?
I think so.
That it is.
I think it's great.
I tell you one, talking about music stuff, you know that you did that cymbal splash about yep. There it goes again. A really good one for that sort of stuff, as we're talking, especially if there's any podcasters or that sort of type of person listening, is T Jingle, T for Tommy Jingle. And it's just basically you load any sort of music file into it, and it's just a big pad of buttons that you can write names on. And when you want to put jingle, you just press the button and it plays. And it's simple, but it's good.
This is a Mac application, or is it a
iPad?
Oh, it's for iPad, yes.
Yeah, it's good.
There's another one as well that's like a soundstage thing where you've got like a big emergency stop button that you hit on the pad as well that I used to use.
Yeah. It's good.
See, this is how thin the news was this week. We're already at our eye thingies.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we've had a wine review and, chat a bit about applications. That's good, isn't it?
Well, now, the other thing that they said on the Mac show, on the launch of this thing, was that there was a velocity-sensitive element to it because of the use of the accelerometer. And I instantly assumed that because the accelerometer was based on movement, not just on an impact on the screen, that the velocity thing would actually be based on the iPad actually physically moving. But I've actually got it attached to the desk here. It can't go anywhere. And it's got a very different... I mean, it really knows how hard I'm touching this screen. It's not nothing to do with the accelerometer physically moving on it. So it's brilliant. I can't play the drums, that's why you just heard that, sorry. But for $2.99, are we killing the online app market as well? Because I mean, we always used to have those $20 things, didn't we, where, you know, people would pay $20 or something for a bit of shareware, $15 for a bit of shareware, and the developers made a bit of money out of it. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't, if it was donation only. And now with the App Store, especially with a large company like Apple pushing out such an enormous piece of software like this for £2.99, are they kind of leveraging the market? Are they being, you know, there's a question put up in the show notes here, you know, is Apple the evil empire?
I don't know about that. I mean, maybe evil empire, I don't know. But as far as what you're talking about for music production and these kind of things, GarageBand is still GarageBand. And from Will will probably agree with me on this. It's not Pro Tools. It's not even in the realm of Cubase or these big well-known names for doing digital audio recording. I think GarageBand is a fantastic tool that if you just want to lay down tracks quick. To me, I've always felt that it's similar to things like Acid Pro from Sony, these kind of sequencer music applications. I think it's good. I like the market. I hope it does bring down the prices. But as far as from a professional point of view, GarageBand doesn't have a lot on what these other applications can really do.
Well, you got to remember with GarageBand, or GarageBand as I would like to call it, if the vast majority of people that use it on a Mac use it on a Mac because they got it for free. So you can't then start charging an enormous amount of money for something that you give away free on one machine and then start charging a fortune for it on another machine. So, I mean, that's part of, but, you know, you got to remember, I mean, I don't know how many Macs Apple sell every year. I mean, obviously it's a lot more than it used to be, but it's nothing compared to the amount of iPhones and iPads they're going to sell. So they can write this piece of software and $2.99 a hit, they're going to sell a million copies of this. Whereas if they had to sell GarageBand for Mac, they might sell 10,000 copies a year. So, you know, financially it makes complete sense.
Will, I mean, you've got a great more experience than maybe some of the rest of us of talking about the interaction between the pieces of software, but, you know, iMovie links well with GarageBand. Both of those link well with, if you talk about the video element, you can use video into GarageBand and pump audio to it and then push it out, and then that as well links very well with the Final Cut Express effect of being able to do video with audio in the same way. Do you rely on this as a professional? Would you look at this as a suite of software that was available to you, or would you just stick with the Pro Tools thing? As Kyle's saying, would you be just looking at the high end stuff?
Well, sorry about the cough. It's going to go soon. I don't know. Horses for courses, I suppose. Really, Logic, as you know, it's still got its limitations and its dodgy bits. And GarageBand, for the money, I suppose, if you buy a new Mac, you get it for free. Or if you upgrade to the latest version of iLife, it's not a huge amount. It gives you a massive amount of potential. And if the question is how it works in a sort of from GarageBand to Logic Express to Logic Pro, it really does a nice job, and you've got to applaud Apple for it. The quality of their software, GarageBand, is absolutely superb, isn't it? It really is lovely. I'm not too keen on the color scheme myself, but it makes me laugh. Is everything's sort of consumer is bright and colorful, but as soon as you kind of slightly go pro, it has to be black. I don't know why that is, or gray, but they do love it. And small letters, everything tiny font.
Well, the thing is, when you're pro, you say you're in with a group of peers, and if you've got something that's kind of girly and schoolboyish, you'll end up having the Mickey taken out of you, won't you? So that's why you go black. So black's just a little too hard to take the piss out of.
Yeah, there's nothing so harsh, is there, as a bunch of creatives that have found somebody non-stylish to pick on.
said the man in the Steve's job black shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, those schoolyard bullies, they've got nothing on a bunch of art directors when somebody's used last year's font.
Well, the pen is mightier than the sword. GarageBand is £8.99 at the moment in the UK Mac store, so that's $11.99 in the US store.
It's $2.99.
No. GarageBand for the Mac in the Mac App Store is $8.99 to buy.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, that's all it is. And you get all of the stuff with that. And what was quite interesting was this week Kyle and I were doing a bit of a collaboration online, and I was using Logic and Kyle was using GarageBand in the Philippines, and I was playing a piece of music. He said, "Hey, I've heard that before," and then he opens up GarageBand, goes into the media files section, and starts playing all the things that I've got in the jam packs, if you like, for Logic. And GarageBand has got nearly all of the pieces of music that you get with Logic in it. You're not missing an awful lot.
I was surprised to see that. I'm surprised, actually.
What do you mean?
Well, when you buy Logic, you get all the GarageBand jam packs, but then you get a load of the other stuff as well.
Yeah, but the jam packs you have to buy extra, don't you, normally?
not with Logic, you get all the jam packs.
No. But with GarageBand, you have to buy the jam packs as an addition. The basic version of GarageBand that Kyle's got has got most of the cinematic jingles already in it.
I see what you're saying, right.
There's an awful lot of stuff that's already in GarageBand without buying the jam packs.
I always hated the name jam pack. Horrible.
You know, I'm listening to that thinking, no, it's I don't want to go into that.
I'd like a packet of jam packs, please.
Exactly.
Yeah. Along with my eye tool, please.
How absorbent are your jam packs?
Oh, you and you had to go there.
I had to go there.
before we move on...
I thought you were going to say before we descend into...
Whatever you do, don't move on from this.
From this musical. I've just discovered... I'm at home and I'm rifling through my wife's makeup drawer because that's where my microphone is.
Yeah.
And I found a kazoo. So would you like me to play a small piece on the kazoo to move out of the section or not?
That would be lovely.
Well,
yes,
I can join you on the harmonica if you want, because I got one of those in my hand.
Should we do that? Which end of the kazoo do you blow into? The big one?
Did you get that? You ready?
Yeah, we got that. Go ahead. If you're listening and this sounds a bit surreal, you want to try broadcasting it.
It doesn't work. It's kazoo's rubbish. It doesn't work.
Has it got tissue paper in it?
Yeah, comb and paper would do.
Listen, if anyone from Apple is listening, would they please do something this week so we can talk about it next week? Because I can't do another week of this rubbish.
What about iOS 4.3?
Right.
Now that's something.
Good man. iOS.
It's something.
4.3. Now it's come out.
What do you want to know about it?
Absolutely everything. It's come out for iPhone, iPod Touch. It's come out for the iPad and will be iPad 2 for those of you in the States that are going to buy it this afternoon. And it's come out for Apple TV as well as. Now, if you look at a lot of the lists of the functionality of what's gone into to iOS 4.3, I can't see where Apple TV is going to get any benefit from it unless there's some more functionality coming
AirPlay.
Along.
AirPlay.
Just AirPlay?
I think Apple TV is the best update there is. Well, from an American point of view, anyways.
Well, exactly.
We get access now to Major League Baseball TV and NBA League Pass. Not to mention 5.1 audio surround sound from Netflix.
That's pretty cool.
Awesome.
But we're in England.
But apart from
I don't
happened.
Care. It's the coolest bit out of all of it. Now I agree with you. You know, it's sad that England didn't get the update. That's true because you can't benefit from any of it. Although I think you can actually from NBA League Pass and. Major League Baseball, because I do believe that if you pay for the subscription, you guys can watch it there.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone would want to. That's different.
No, they would.
Okay.
Now, Andrew, you were saying we've got a 4.3, because that's Apple TV has updated to 4.3 in my house. So.
Yeah, then there's some extra channels on there. There's some games, online gaming channel popped up on my Apple TV.
I haven't done it yet, that's the thing. So
And it's chocker full of AirPlay enhancements. It's... Definitely AirPlay's moved up a notch on that one. It's tip top. You know, it's not just AirPlay from the Mac to the Apple TV. It's AirPlay from the iPhone picking up music on the Mac and shunting it to the TV. So it's
Has anyone used AirPlay?
I tried it the other day and it didn't work.
Like that's what I've heard. Everyone talks about AirPlay and goes, yeah, but it's a bit kludgy, you know, it's not quite right, it doesn't work. And people are releasing gear after gear after gear of this stuff. I mean, Philips pushed out some speakers this week. They were €800 for two speakers. They're only stereo. And they want €800 for AirPlay, and no one that I've heard yet says AirPlay works really, really consistently and is very, very reliable.
No, I mean, the trouble is with AirPlay, as long as you, I mean, you can be listening to something and you've got it set up really nicely, and then your kids go and turn on the PS3 and start hogging the network, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it starts to drop out again. And it's like, you know what? I'll just stick to my wires.
I always stick to my wires anyways. Yeah. Wires is, if you care about 1080p streaming and all this sort of stuff.
I've never used AirPlay. I don't see me using AirPlay in the foreseeable future, and I heard that it doesn't work very well.
Can we clarify exactly what AirPlay is?
Yes, mate. For the benefit of those people listening who don't know what AirPlay is, Will, it's basically an over-air playing system. So effectively, through your Wi-Fi, you can get devices to play to other devices without the device having to act as a receiver, translator, and player. So you can just have speakers that have got AirPlay, and they're just speakers. There's no preamp, there's no dock, there's no anything with them. They're just speakers, and they work via your Wi-Fi.
So we're talking mainly about because I got that, I can stream audio and video from my iPhone or iPad to my Apple TV. Works great.
Yeah, that's fine.
But so that's all done and dusted. We're all happy with that. These AirPlay enhancements that you're all talking about, what difference is there?
The difference would be if you've got a TV, say, that had AirPlay, you would be able to stream directly from your Mac to the TV itself without going through the Apple TV. You wouldn't need a translation device.
And you couldn't do that before?
No, you couldn't. And that's the point, is you can switch with your iPhone, play with your iPhone, and your speakers will just start without having to go through an amp, without having to go through a preamp, without having to go through a dock, without having to have a physical connection to a receiver that then transcodes it and plays it. This thing will just play it.
Yeah. It's like with the old system, you actually sent the data along, which then had to be processed into what you wanted it to end up with. All the processing is done on board on whatever machine you're sending it from, and all it's picking up is the final output. So there's no processing.
But it's
on
not
the
audio, it's data.
Yeah, it's everything.
It's not an analog audio signal, it's a data signal. So as you've just said there, I know I can send stuff from my iPad to my Apple TV and it'll play on my TV. You'll be able to do exactly the same, except you won't need the Apple TV bit in the middle. It'll just go straight from your iPad straight to your TV if there's an AirPlay TV. And that's where everyone's thinking that Apple is going to make a TV, was this big rumor that Jason Calacanis started. And yes, they probably will, but it'll be other people making AirPlay for their TVs.
It's the same way as AirPrint hasn't quite taken off yet, because the idea is great.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Unless you buy one or two HP printers, I think they are, it's pointless.
Yeah, your printer's got to be
compatible.
Everything
just stays in the air.
But you can just see it coming up. I mean, one of the big things of the 4.3 on AirPlay is that now you can enable your website to be AirPlay compliant, so you can be online into Safari and then just punch the video from the website straight up onto the television, or from the iPad. You can be on the iPad and you can be watching something on a website or an app, and then you can just shunt the stream from the app onto the television in one hit. And I can certainly see there's a couple of websites that spring to mind that I could see some people wanting to stream video to the television for a more laid back viewing experience.
But
you'll get your big red block on your.
I could see the white clean surface of the iPad coming in very handy as well.
Is it not the whole point though, and that isn't the parallel here, the flying car? Because for me, AirPlay sounds like the flying car. It's a fantastic idea, but for the life of me, I've never heard anyone who said that they've made it work.
Yeah, but it is. The flying car is the world's best idea.
Yeah, that's never happened.
It doesn't mean it won't.
I don't think there's enough. I don't think
Someone's
there's enough devices for us. Sorry.
Go ahead, Carl.
I have a hard time hearing. I was going to say that I just don't think there's enough devices out there for us to really consume all this thing. We're really stuck in the Apple world with AirPlay right now, and the oxygen isn't as good for us, and we're waiting for it to come to a stereo receiver, and that it's priced decently enough where we don't have to, you know, sleep on the couch for a month because we pissed off our wives. So it's, to me, that's at the place now. The best thing I seen this week was actually Pioneer put out an AirPlay receiver for a little over $500. That's the cheapest thing I've seen and the probably the most beneficial one I've seen. So you can stream audio to it now.
Right, so you've got a... let me just clarify here. Panasonic are releasing...
Pioneer,
have released a box which attaches to a standard device that receives AirPlay and translates it into audio analog at $500.
Well, pretty much.
Okay. Because for $99, you can get an Apple TV that'll do that.
Yeah.
Because that's what an Apple TV does. And you've got an optical out from it, so you can take your optical out and shove it straight into your preamp. You'd need a little monitor just to set it up to be able to run it. But, I mean, even then, couldn't you use your iPad or your iPhone, maybe, to control it and direct it? And just have it as a slave box linked up to an amp, and it's $400 cheaper. Have I got that wrong? That's what I'm thinking.
No. I mean, you're probably exactly right. I mean, I haven't played with it, but the same concept is what we're saying about the TV also. Well, why throw it to the TV when I can just throw it to my Apple TV? Maybe it's just hard to market it now, right now, too, to be honest. I'm not thrilled with it. I think it's something we could already do already. This is just the Apple way and consumer-friendly way and the easy way, which hasn't been very easy, to do this kind of air streaming, as we show. Call it
right. Okay, well, there is one point that just occurred to me, which if it works, it will take over the whole audio visual environment.
Yeah,
is if you can make AirPlay a standard over everything, which is it's a chicken and egg, isn't it? I mean, we design AirPlay, but no one got anything to use it on. But then, if you can make that the standard from everything, then you've done away with all the wires, you've done away with all the HDMI from your DVD or your Blu-ray or from your cable box or the telly. Everything will be able to go through one compliant server, if you like. So you have one AirPlay output device, and then your TV on the wall will be completely remote other than the power source. So if this thing can... See, one of the troubles with sending things along the other way, the old way to the Apple TV, you're sending so much more data to be processed. Now, if you're only sending out the finished object, the finished data, which has been processed and everything, you'll be able to have a lot lower bandwidth on the Wi-Fi environment. So therefore, you'll be able to connect your TV up to everything you've got in the house without any need for wires from any box.
I mean,
you could have one Mac central hub with AirPlay, and everything will then stream to everywhere in your house. It's like having a cable box that will be accessible from every TV in your house wirelessly.
We've got, I mean, three of us have got Apple TVs. I use two of them on wired, and I get no issues at all with data transfer. On the one that's wireless, occasionally it'll drop out, especially if there's another Apple TV being used at the same time. Anyone else got the same experience?
Well, our Apple TV is wireless in the house. It's the only one we've got, and it's brilliant. I've never had anything drop out on it. Whereas if you're running it, it's fantastic. There's no issues at all. But it does, and it does seem to know every time someone comes in and they say, "Oh, you've got an Apple TV. Show me how that works." And you switch it on, and it goes. You go to the Mac or the thing. You click on the AirPlay, and it can't find it on the network.
Yes.
You sort of like sat there going, "Hang on a minute," whilst I just do this and click on this and undo this, and it's like 15 minutes later you're sort of ramming a cold chisel into the top of the thing going, "Why aren't you on the network?"
No, we've had that.
Doesn't help being called Dr. Happy Mac when it doesn't work, really, does it?
Yeah, not a good trait for business there, is it? No.
That's all right. I've got a special Windows certified engineer t-shirt that I put on at these moments
instead. No, I mean, we've had issues where we've started like high quality video coming through it, and the video is playing faster than it's loading up via the Wi-Fi, so it jerks and stops and starts. And the other thing is exactly what you're saying there. There's times, you know, we've got one in the bedroom, we get into bed, watch an episode of Modern Family or something, and I'll press it on and it says can't find the iTunes stuff, and that's it, it's gone then. And you're like, "Oh, come on." And am I getting out of bed to go and start sorting around the network? No, I'm not. I'm going to go to sleep. TV off, light off.
The Apple TV, couple of things, though. Maybe me. Well, I'll start off with a positive, a cunning tip. If you go, the Apple TV comes by default that you rent high-definition films, which cost a load more than standard-definition films. And you don't get the choice, do you? You have to go into settings and then select, "Yes, I want to rent standard instead of high def." So that's a cunning tip I found. Save everybody a few quid.
And can you tell the difference, by the way?
Well, I can't see. I can't see any difference.
No,
except for the 2 quid difference that in the price. and the other thing is, I rented a high def before I discovered that little cunning tip movie, and it said your movie's going to be ready to watch in 8 hours. I thought, well, what's the point of that then? I could have gone down the video shop and I'd be quicker. Is that my connection? Should it be 8 hours?
No.
I thought it should have streamed.
Well, your average movie is 720p, isn't it? Well, they're all 720p, the HD stuff. And your average movie is about 1.6 gigs. So if what it's saying is it's going to take me 8 hours to download 1.6 gig from the net. So that would be your ISP, maybe?
Yeah, that means Will's using my ISP here.
Yeah, it's being routed via the Philippines, mate.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
You could have got to stop using your iPhone as the Wi-Fi tethering the network, Will. It just can't cope.
Well, I sat down with the wife, and he came through. He said, the person said, right, love, we're going to sit down and watch a high-definition movie. Look at this. Isn't it wonderful? I rented it, and it said, available to watch in 8 hours. I thought, Christ, that can't be right, can it?
Well, who's your ISP, mate?
There, we could watch it.
Who's your ISP?
Sky.
Sky, and what's the alleged speed that you get?
Oh, it's not too bad. About 6 meg, something like that.
Right, so you actually get 6 meg. That's not what they claim. You're actually getting 6 meg.
Yeah, I've done a few tests on it. It goes up and down like they always do, but I just thought that was the. If you have to rent high def, you have to wait a day.
But I mean, this is that whole conversation is exactly what I'm talking about with AirPlay. And with the Apple approach, is you have to plan ahead if you want to buy a movie, according to what Will's just said. If you want AirPlay, it's going to cost you an enormous amount of money because the devices are all licensed and they're actually really, really scarce out there. You've got Panasonic giving you a box at $500 that an Apple TV will do for $99. And you've also then got speakers that are going to cost you $800 or 800 euros, $1,200, that actually probably aren't enormously better sound quality than just a standard set or a little bit of, you know, the little tiny Bose speakers that you used to be able to get down at the iPad store. It's just too hard. And everyone's talking about, you know, the phrase that you used, Dick, was it, you know, the consumer friendly? Nothing I've heard so far about AirPlay and about the use of the integration of devices with TVs, Apple TV and that kind of stuff is actually that consumer friendly.
Yeah, but the one thing you're missing
the wallet.
If you stuck an Apple sign on the back of them speakers and stuck an Apple sign on the back of that box from Pioneer, then it would sell.
At $500.
Yeah, exactly. And no one would even query it.
No.
I'd like to defend the print thing, though. That's good, that is. I went out and bought my printer, came to the end of its life. Went out and bought an HP one. Took ages to find one that would work with it, but I found one. It's pretty easy. I can be on the... You know, on my iPad or my phone and print out, and it works. It's great.
No, that's perfect if you need a new printer.
Well, there is that too, I have to be honest. Yes, there is that. But it's worked really well for me. And the funny thing is, I can email my printer documents from wherever I am. I can't quite see the point of this, but I could if I wanted to.
So, I mean, the people that nicked all your stuff, mate, yes. Did they nick your Apple printer, your AirPlay printer?
No, that's at home, that is.
Oh, that's a shame, because you could have sent him a message.
100 miles away.
It's a laser printer at work, it was. So, for home, I wanted like a colour printer. I mean, for years, I've been trying to save money by printing out black and white and then colouring in the photos and then giving them to my wife and pretending that it had colour in it. But she saw through it in the end.
Well, it's because you started using tissue paper.
Yes.
Where's my symbol splash again?
Can we have a cheese analogy on this, please?
Sorry, what?
A cheese analogy.
It was a cheese analogy. Yes. Well, it's like feeding cheese through your printer, isn't it? I mean, if you go to the shops, I find the squares, you know, the really processed hamburger cheese, basically squares.
Yep.
That if you can get them in the envelope slot of most printers, and it actually, in theory, if it should feed through the printer and allow you, you can print photographs of your children onto slices of processed cheese.
Now, hang on, before anyone writes in and says, I did what Andrew said, and it shagged me printer, just confirm for us that you're talking utter rubbish there or not.
You can't print photographs of your children onto slices of processed cheese.
I don't think it's any coincidence that the slices of processed cheese are exactly the same size as the old Polaroid film.
I used to, if you get them as well, this is retro cheese. You cut a little hole in the middle and a little slot at the top, and they look just like those old floppy diskettes. Oh, and then you can just ram them into the slot of your old Performer, or if you've got a PC that still comes with a floppy disk, you can ram them in there, and you can actually get about 2 songs on each slice of cheese.
This is cheese art, this is.
Oh, my life. So there you go. Take sliced cheese and use it as a diskette.
Get your Beaujolais to go with it.
Yeah, use it as a Polaroid film because it works extremely well for that.
Does it come out of Polaroid cameras as well?
It does, yes. The loading's a bit of a problem, wrapping it round the spool, but it spools out just fine once you've got it wrapped round. And then finally, use it in your laser printer to print pictures of your children onto the cheese itself.
But remember, you can't get a print unless it's processed cheese.
I'll tell you what.
Where's the symbol?
I'm too slow, boss.
None of this appears on the show notes that I'm looking at.
Right, Kyle's video's disappeared. Are you there, mate? Still?
I'm here.
Right, your video's gone. So obviously someone's forgotten to put 50p in the meter in the Philippines. Final word on this entire. If you've listened to this podcast halfway through, sorry, but. Max Est in the chat room has said, and this really is the last word on the subject, but everyone remembers the Apple Hi-Fi. Yes?
Yes, I've got one, and I love it.
Oh, right, because the second half of what he wrote was nobody bought that, but you actually did.
I've got one.
Okay.
It's in the kitchen, and I plug the iPod into the top of it, and it's fantastic. And I go through my day, and I have the Apple headphones that come with the iPhone pod. Doody dude, and it's brilliant. If you have absolutely no appreciation for musical subtlety or high end tone or bass or any of that, if all of those things mean nothing to you, then the Apple headphones are absolutely wonderful. And the best thing of all is that every 3 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks you get to buy a new set because the set you've got break. However, if you slap your iPod into the Apple TV in the kitchen, which we've got there, and you just press it and I do the dishes and listening, I love it. It's really, the sound on it is lovely.
It's super, and the throw of it is incredible as well, isn't it? I don't know about yourself, but I was sitting on the settee and I'll hear something behind me. And I think, what's that? And it's my Apple TV. It's just amazing. It's not the Apple TV's behind me. The Apple TV's in front of me, but it's throwing the same.
When you're saying the throw, do you mean your wife's picked it up and chucked it at you and it smashed on the wall behind you?
No, they're too heavy for that. They're really big buggers. Big, massive.
Yeah, they are. Have you ever tried it with a battery? I've never tried mine with batteries.
Yeah, but I think you get about 10 minutes.
We'll see. I did wonder about that.
Batteries. What are you going to do? Put it up on your arm and do the 80s thing with your boombox?
Oh. Oh, yeah. Cool. Walking down the street with the iPod stuck, tucking the things, wobbling around in the top slot. Yes, very impressive.
Do a little break dancing. Yeah.
Max S in the chat room.
It's a dream, though, isn't it?
Max S in the chat room is jaw dropped that someone actually bought one. Big exclamation marks thereafter.
There's 4 people here, and 2 of us have got them, and we both love them, don't we, Will?
We do. Brilliant. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
On that note, I'm hoping that Don McAllister phones soon.
Well, has he got any cheese anecdotes?
He was going to phone up. He's been listening live. He was going to phone up. He's like, nope, not this week.
Nope.
Exactly.
I'm not associating my name to that.
He's got his iPad. Screw you guys. I'm going to play.
Well, if it works, he can Facebook.
We can Facebook,
online,
yeah.
Isn't it? Even FaceTime.
Dear Don, please call. The inane chat by these boys is driving me mad today.
I've got a list of things we could talk about Steve Wozniak saying that Apple will go really well without Steve Jobs.
Go on then, mate. Start us off. Start of a 10.
Apparently, Wozniak says that Apple will go really well without Steve Jobs.
Yeah, so that's him going, I know you're going to die and you were useless anyway.
Yes, he's like, I'm the brains of this outfit, was the brains of this outfit. But was. I mean, I can see, you know, he's the most loyalist person you could ever stab in the back repeatedly. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's great the way he comes out with all these things. I mean, I'm not sure his judgment in things post-Apple has proved that he's always got his finger on the
This is the
pulse.
Man who intended to write an all-for-one remote system, hired a hotel room in Hawaii, and in 10 months didn't write a single line of code, but put on 40 pounds.
It should work with me. It's the way I work.
This is the man. This is the one that turned, according to Leo Laporte, has turned up in to fly to the Antarctic wearing a t-shirt and shorts.
Well, it's hot in California, and it's warm on the
plane. I'm sure they can heat it for him when he gets there.
Exactly.
Well, if it had taken his MacBook Pro, that would have kept his legs warm.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was thinking about all this taking over business. Now, I've decided that Jonathan Ive does have to take over, purely because I was just looking into his history, and he was born in the same place as David Beckham. So I think just for that reason, he should get his hands on Apple. I know it's not a very good reason, but I think that's his only real claim to fame.
Well, what's his association with the Beckham? None. Apart from that.
Well, you know, he was born in the same place. That will do.
But how many other people were born in the same place?
Winston Churchill's grandson. How about that? No, but the point is, I was thinking about this iPad too, and I'm a bit miffed that we have to wait another few weeks. Because I was thinking, you know, like, he designed it, right? British design, right? Built in China. Mm. And the only place that gets it is the States.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know what?
I should get it first.
In the Philippines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
we're
going to
get it last. Probably like August is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. No, but 7 months of that is clearing customs.
No, but yeah, in all reality, right. I don't know why it's not a much larger launch than it is, because of they've known they're going to release this thing for a little while. It's not like they've just knocked up a few quick ones just to send them off to Fifth Avenue. You know,
well,
I
was going to say, hang on a second, because you talk about Don McAllister, he's making his way to the Apple store at 8 a.m. to start queuing, and not one's going to be sold until 5 p.m. So I think this is probably a fairly big launch. I bet you they're sold out by the end of the day.
Yeah, so why, again, is it a purely an American launch for the first 2 weeks?
Because they haven't made enough.
They were predicting, weren't they? I mean, I've been looking on Tinternets, and they're saying 600,000 over the first weekend is the projected thing, which is no small beans. That's a lot of things.
No, I agree. But if you want to make something a worldwide phenomenon, which is that really hard word, then make it worldwide. If you've got 600,000 or 1 million to sell on the first week, well, all right, you can sell half of them in the States if you want, but if you really want the buzz to go worldwide, then you want it to literally go. I mean, it's via. That's the whole point of the iPad. You communicate with the world in your lap. You know, why isn't the world getting this? I know it sounds a little, you know, a little precious point, but it does confuse me why Apple is so US centric. Seeing as, you know, if you look at the way the world market's going, it's going to move away from the US very, very quickly.
I think Alex might have. Sorry, I was going to say you might have a point there, though. Wasn't it the 3G or 3GS? I don't remember which one it was. It was a rotation thing. You've seen Australia get it, then you can see the States get it. Or, you know, it seemed like everybody, most, not every country, we didn't, but most countries in a course of a day did get the launch. I can't remember if it was a 3G or 3GS, but I know it was one of those. So and that's tied to a carrier. All the more the iPad is unlocked.
All of these are unlocked.
But if you think about the buzz you get when someone launches a new piece of software, and everyone can click download at 5 o'clock Pacific time or whatever it happens to be, there's a whole worldwide buzz and it kicks off everywhere. You know, I think they're really limiting the.
And the servers go down.
It's the iPad too. It's going to be big anyway. But if it's going to be big anyway, why not make it gargantuan? You know, that's my argument anyway. And I'm a bit miffed that I can't get my hands on one for 2 weeks.
Just had a hot piece of news here from someone that I've been talking to on Twitter about connection speeds and dongles and that kind of stuff and MiFi's. He was going to swap over and take the 3 MiFi as opposed to using the O2 dongle that he got. I've just got a tweet from him here saying personal hotspot in iOS 4.3 works really, really well on the iPhone. Good speeds and multiple connections as well as. Now that's a turn up for the books, because when I used tethering, it was disgusting. It was 0.07 down and 0.7 up.
A quick point on that, Ewan. I mean, I don't know if you're an O2 customer, and I don't know how well this translates, but I looked, because of the new 4.3, I looked at seeing what the tethering options are. But I happened to notice, and I wish I was wrong, that I still have to buy an extra data bundle to tether my iPhone as a hotspot.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, I want to know why I can't just use up whatever I've got in my existing bundle before I have to buy some more.
Well, that's the next tweet he's come out. Why do I have to have it set? That's the next tweet that's come out from him. Not sure if it's coming out of my cellular data allowance or my tethering allowance. Any idea?
Tethering. And I tried to tether with my data allowance, and it asked me to buy more data. I used 40 megabytes of 500 megabytes last month. And I thought, you know what? Not that I really wanted to do it, but I thought, I'm going to tether this just so I can see what speed I get. And it wouldn't let me without me buying another 500 megabyte to tether it. And I just thought that was utterly, utterly wrong.
Well, you look at the MiFi, you get £20 and it gives you 15 gig of data transfer. And I've just yesterday swapped my contract over from 02 to 3. I get a full 3G signal here inside the house, which I never got with O2, and I've also got unlimited data, and it's genuinely unlimited data. It's not 1 gigabyte, and then we'll start thinking about throttling you. It's as much data as my phone can consume, they will give me.
Well, a friend of mine just went onto 3 Network and got an iPhone 4, and she'll be glad I'm talking about her because I'm sure she's listening. And the deal she got on the 3 Network absolutely knocked my O2 contract into a cocked hat. I could save money by still paying off my O2 account getting the 3 account as well.
The 3 account that I've got is 2,000 minutes to anywhere, 5,000 minutes to another 3 phone, 5,000 texts, and genuinely unlimited data for 20.
This is exactly what she got, and she got an iPhone
£25
a
month.
Yeah, she got an iPhone 4 for £69.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm just thinking, this is ridiculous.
Some great deals out there. Right, I'm amazed, actually, that we've managed to fill 50 minutes there. That's utter rubbish. It's really good. Have we got any cool thingies? Will, would you like to start us off?
Yes, I'll grab my iPad.
Is it a visual one?
Hold on. Hold on.
I hope not.
Dum, dum, dum.
You need a cymbal crash.
Right. I need a lot of symbol crashes.
Don't have dead air. No, just have Will searching in the background instead.
You could have done it noisier.
I'll tell you what, I downloaded GarageBand while we were talking. It does look good, doesn't it?
Oh, mate. You just wait till you've had a play. There you go. Wait till you've had a play.
So mine's not an application. Doesn't matter.
cough, cough.
Edit.
Edit, edit, edit.
Right, it is... not a podcast, but it's something off the iTunes U service. Is it a service?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Something called, I love a bit of retro, and it's a podcast called, or a iTunes U, whatever, called Vintage Mac Video. And it's produced by Georgia College, he says, looking, State University. And it's just a sort of a library of all of the old, not just, I mean, you get a lot of that on YouTube, but these are nicely done, and there's some choice picks if you're interested in the history of Apple, and there's books, you know, PDFs with it as well as videos, and it's a great resource if you're interested in learning about the history of Apple.
Very good, lots and lots of it's a free thing, I take it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely free. Yep. It's Vintage Mac Video, but it's not a regular podcast. It's a funny thing, isn't it? iTunes U. Me personally misses. I miss a lot of the stuff that's on iTunes U because I just don't look there. I think that's probably the same for most people. The podcasting bit, the video bit, the music bit, etc. Nope. But iTunes U is hidden away, and there's some real gems in there.
I've never been on it at all, so I will now go and have a look. Thanks to you, mate. Well done.
But there it is, isn't it? I think that's the same for a lot of people. They just don't... It began, and it's sort of just ticking away in the background, but it's got no publicity attached to it.
Now, one other thing that we were going to talk about that I've forgotten about, and just talking to you there reminded me, because you're a business and an Apple trainer and have got a company set up for the purposes of it. What about this joint venture thing that they've said at the moment with Apple? Is that something that you're tied into or that you would hope to tie into, or is going to be looking at liaisons, that kind of stuff, throughout lots and lots of businesses and the service providers like yourself?
Not really. I think it's a great thing. It strikes me, it's very similar to the one-to-one service for consumers. This is almost like one-to-one for business, and it seems a good deal. It's very, very reasonable. Well, I say very reasonable. It's about £350 a year, is it?
What's the limit on it? There's no limit on interaction, or just...
I think you can send your employees to an Apple store, I think something like 4 times a year for X amount of training. I can't quite remember what it is, but I don't know. As an Apple certified trainer, it looks good. I think if you're, am I still clipping?
No, Karen, it is a little bit, but go ahead. Yeah.
It looks great if you're a business and you've bought some Macs and you've got a few people that are inexperienced with Apple technology. But you know, truthfully, my advice would be keep your £350. Visit infinitelooptraining.com and book a course with me.
And he'll take at least twice that off you.
No. I'll be cheaper than that and hopefully teach them more. And the key thing, right, you know, a lot of training establishments, it's all about the training, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's all about the training. But I think they're making a mistake there. The key for my business is great lunches. Doesn't matter about the content of the training. It's all about the lunch.
Definitely.
And that's the way I'm going to approach this particular business. So when they walk away, I've been talking to a pie and a pint lady, so on a 4-day course at the end of it, we're going to have a pie and a pint session. There'll be some lovely, lovely vintage red wine, some great food, and in the afternoon, probably finish about 2 o'clock, that sort of thing, and go down the pub.
And you're not going to make a penny, but at least you'll have a good time. Now, the only thing I've got to say, Will, is your customer services is really crap.
Because
I wrote to you this week saying I wanted a lesson on iMovie because I've got stuck with something. Could I come over? And I was insistent on paying you, and you ain't replied.
Well, that's sorry.
Because you could see, so you could put on your logo. You see, you could put as used by BagelTech. You see, but
I could. I'm quite happy.
As recommended, but you could be my pick of the week next week, couldn't you?
I could be, couldn't I?
But no.
Not anymore.
No. Bother to respond to me tweet and then we'll talk about it. Right. Talking of picks of the week, then, Alex, what's yours?
Right. Okay. My pick of the week is it came from the fact that I was very disappointed with something and I think I found a way around it. Andrew might be able to help with this, but I've got various Macs around here and I was unfortunate enough to buy a 24-inch model. 2 weeks, 1 day before they brought out the 27-inch model, which I was a bit annoyed about. And one of the reasons I'm very annoyed is in the new 27-inch model, they have the ability, you can use the 27-inch Mac as an extension screen for your other Macs, which I'm pretty sure you cannot do on any of the previous models, which is very, very disappointing. It's called Target Display Mode. You plug in the cables into the back of your Mac and it operates as an extension monitor from your other computers. However, saying that, there is, I don't know if it's to do with the new update on iOS and I don't know if it's to do with the new update they recently did on the 10.6.6, but there's a new piece of software I've noticed called Air Display. An Air Display, I mean, I was just reading something quickly because I wanted to just make sure I got it right. It's the same people make lots of print sharing apps and air sharing apps for various parts of the Mac network. But Air Display, piece of software, will do exactly the same thing, but wirelessly. It will allow you to use your 27-inch Mac purely as an extension screen. I'm sure there's lots of pieces of software that do this anyway with screen sharing and various things, but this is a dedicated just for screen sharing. So this is the option I think I will be turning to on the grounds that I can't do it with any of my other bits of equipment I've got.
Yeah, we covered this the other week on the Daily Show when they sent us out a press release for it saying that it was up and running and available in the App Store. And a lot of the reviews of it were pretty good from the tech blogs and stuff.
Okay, well, that's good to know that I've stumbled across something that everyone else knew, but it is quite good. It's $12.99 in the App Store. And
$11.99.
You're right, it's $11.99. Yeah. It's gone down since I last looked at my screen. Or I can't read. Yeah, but I mean, when I'm working on, say, my MacBook and I want the bigger screen, it means it's one less screen I need in my house, which is another good thing.
Excellent. Air Display from Avatron Software, $11.99 in the App Store. So it's going to be about $15, I guess, for the US. Good pick. Kyle, got a pick for us?
Yeah, we're talking about streaming and everything today. This one's called Stream to Me, and it's an application from the Mac App Store, and it essentially lets you stream to your Mac. You can do it over Wi-Fi. What I really think is cool, you can do it over 3G. And you can even do it from your Mac or PC. It doesn't matter. And it will stream up to 720p video quality. And it will do conversion on the fly. So pretty much whatever format that you have, it will convert it on the fly. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about will it play or will it won't play or these kind of things.
Excellent. It's free as well. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's free.
We love free. Good pick. iTunes or Mac App Store? iTunes.
Yeah, sorry. Mac App Store, yeah. And iTunes, yeah.
Great one. Andrew, your pick, please.
Mine's free too, because I also love the free. The free is the thing. This is brilliant because it's kind of, you've got it already. If you don't know about it, you don't have to even, well, you do have to lift two fingers, but as it were. Basically, it's the joys of any Mac in the from the sort of early Core 2 Duo Macs onwards, is booting Snow Leopard into 64-bit mode by holding the 6 and the 4 key down on the keyboard and pressing the Go Start button on the Mac, which they're obviously left to itself. 10.6 will boot us into 32-bit mode. So, yeah, I've just been experimenting all this week by just pressing the 6 and the 4 key. Then I've got a lovely speed boost out of my i5 MacBook Pro. I must confess, I was underwhelmed by it when I first got it. I was sat there thinking, well,
what's the point?
It's brilliant. Just a 6 and 4, ping, off it goes. You do have to watch for some kernel extensions on printers and things, which might go plop, but you can check on that in the system profiler. That's there. It's free. It's actually already in your Mac, probably. Give it a go. See what happens. You might just get a bit of a surprise free speed boost.
Which kind of Intel generation are we talking about getting a benefit from doing this? I mean, we're going back to the right to the Core Duo, to Core 2 Duos, or?
Yeah, the Core Solos and the Core Duos, nope. It has to be a Core 2 Duo chip. And I believe the early 1.8s won't do it either. So you're looking at 2 gigahertz and above Core 2 Duo or i5, i3, i7 chips.
So, but you'll notice a difference as well, as you'll get an improvement.
You will notice a difference. I believe without paying any royalties, that everything is officially snappier.
Mm, jolly good.
So, and I would also add a quick also freebie pick, because we did a podcast last time and I will plug this, not that I've got any skin in the game, as they say, but as a second more go out and get it thing, pop along to iTunes, have a look at answermethispodcast.com, download a whole load of it and wet yourself over the weekend.
Again, that's not actual. That's just...
No, it is actual. No, that really is actual.
You actually peed yourself. Jolly good.
Yeah, you will.
My pick is not going to be GarageBand. I need to play with it for a little bit longer yet before I say yes to it, definitely. My pick is iStop Motion. It's from Boink Software, and it's available in the Mac App Store. And some of you may, if you follow me on Twitter, will have seen some videos that I've stuck up on YouTube. It's a stop motion program whereby you just set it up to your Mac, stick a webcam in your Mac or any other kind of camera, and you take a picture, move what you've got, take a picture, move what you've got, take a picture, and you can create little tiny movies. And it's my pick of the week, not because it's so easy to use, although it really is, and not because it gives you great results and nice movies, although it does, because it takes forever to make them. It's the fact that me and Ellis have sat down and done something together for the first time in a long time that where we haven't argued over it, and we've both just had a great time over it. It's real good father-son software. because it's really techy, it's really interesting, it's really easy for him to use. He can use it by himself as well as, but we've just spent all the time doing tons of stuff with his Star Wars figures, and the other night we cut out some paper and made a little story about a boat floating across a paper ocean on my desk, and videoed the whole thing, and I might stick that up on YouTube, but it's brilliant. iStop Motion, it's not cheap, it's £29.99, but it was worth every penny. Every penny. Last weekend, I was running out the door with 5 minutes to go to rugby because I was late because we were having such a good time. So, there you go. If it keeps me away from rugby, it must be good. Last word, of course, goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. I'm not going to go on about these guys as much as always because we always do it every show, but they keep the network on the air. They give us all our hosting and our bandwidth. If you're looking for domain names, e-commerce, banding, you know, hosting, that kind of stuff, someone to give you a VPS or even a personal server, then go and check out the prices. Go to our webpage, bageltechnews.com, click on the UK2.net link, and it'll take you through to them. They'll know that we've sent you, and every time you click that link, you're keeping us running, you're keeping us on the air, because fortunately last week, with the Mac Security Show and with the Mac Show, we consumed nearly 600 gigabytes of data just in the start of this month. So we're going to go well over the terabyte that we did the month before at the moment based on that. So thanks ever so much to UK2. They never bleat. They never say anything wrong. They never kind of get upset or, you know, why are you using all this bandwidth? They just keep pouring more at us, and we love them to bits. Please, please, please support them. Go to our website. Make the click through. Even if you don't buy anything from them, just make sure that they know that you go in there because you listen to us. Thank you very much. Where can we get a hold of you then, fellas? Start with you, Will.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes, you can get me. You know, before we move on from that, can I do this?
Yeah, go on. I don't know what you're going to do, but...
You were chatting about your iStop Motion thing. I've got this thing on my phone, which I can't remember the name of. It's great. It's a little... can you hear that?
No. I can hear someone saying mummy in the background, yeah.
It's a daddy. I've got a toddler right. Banging on the door. Daddy. Anyway, it's a thing for your iPhone. It's 59 pence, but I can't remember the name of it. And you can put it wherever you want. And it takes pictures every whatever... 5 seconds, and it does one of those, you know, when you
time
see
lapse.
The sunset rise in about 2 minutes. What's those videos called?
Time lapse.
Yeah, it's time lapse software for your iPhone, and it uses the camera and just goes snap every, you know, 5 or 10 seconds or whatever, and it's fantastic. It's really fun. You just leave it in the corner of your office or something on the window, and you want to capture a time lapse of your of the sun setting or something. It's really fun.
What was the name of it?
I can't remember. Shall I come back in a second?
Yeah, do that at the end. No problem. That'd be great. Yep. Alex, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Yeah, please do. Get hold of me on Twitter at Alex G Fox.
Good man.
All welcome to join in the fun and games.
Tune in. Kyle, where can we get a hold of you?
Twitter's easiest place, twitter.com/KyleSwagger, Swagger with 1G. Of course, you can find me here other places on the Bagel Tech Network, Bagel Tech Media, Bagel Tech Photo, and occasionally I'll pop in on the big show.
Occasionally, yeah. The other thing is you've got the Sound Podcast, haven't you, as well? How's that going?
It's on hiatus right now. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm not liking how the format is going and doing a little restructuring with that. It will be back, just better than it is right now.
Okay, that's good. Quality control at work. That's what we like.
Yes.
Excellent. And finally, Andrew, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Right. If you want to write to me, you can write to me at Dr. Happy Mac, Studio 5, Carpenters Buildings, Siren Sister, GL71EE. If you use a first class stamp, I'll get the letter the next day. I'll probably reply to it in 2 or 3 days. I use second class mail, so that's another 2 days. Back to you. So, on a good day, 5 to 7 days turnaround on a letter, I'll be right back to you. If that's too long, Twitter, Dr. Happy Mac.
Yeah, or write to us here at bageltechmac@gmail.com and we'll ask the question of Andrew there. And we have had a question, mate.
Oh, God. Jesus.
Am I better off leaving my Mac on or switching it on and off?
What sort of Mac is it? We don't know, do we?
No, I mean, are you generally better off leaving your Mac running, or, you know, would you, because if it's not, I mean, like, the thing I've got with the Mac Mini that I've got, the power consumption is pretty low, so it's really, really good. I don't have any problem leaving it on. It's not hungry at all, and it wakes up when I need to, and it goes off when I need to, but
yeah, leave it on.
Generally speaking, are you better off leaving them on or switching them on and off?
I leave all the desktop Macs in the office on. Yeah, they go into power saving mode. It's pretty minimal. They do say, don't they, that startup is the biggest failure point for any hard drive, as electronics kick into life. So, and shutdown is the second biggest failure point. So get rid of those two things by leaving it on.
So another question, because I'm a laptop user and I tend to switch my laptop off before I put it in my bag, but actually I don't need to because it doesn't cool down or anything. Am I better actually just closing the lid and sticking it in the bag and then open it when I get to the other end of the travel?
Yep.
Same thing again. Right, I'll do that in future.
Yeah, also that the Mac will be running through the OS X background tasks for, you know, clearing all your caches and diddling the doddles and things, that it, technical term there, that it does overnight when you're not watching. Two or three Macs together in a room, they'll play poker, Texas Hold'em, about 3 o'clock in the morning. They do like to do that, give them the chance to win some money off each other.
Can you use cheese as chips?
No. Well, you could have cheesy chips.
Have I stolen someone else's punchline there, Cheese's Chips? No. Right.
No, it's but easy. You got the title for the show today.
Cheese's Chips, jolly good. The innumerable uses of cheese.
Leave them on. I would leave them on, basically. Just switch the laptops off if you're going to be not using them for, you know, a foreseeable couple of days. Probably best to turn them off. But other than that.
Yeah. Will, what have you got that piece of software, mate?
I have. I tend to leave my Macs on and then employ a masked gentleman to come in during the night and turn them all off.
Yeah, but he takes them away with him. That's the trouble.
Easy.
He's very laid back.
Anyway, sorry.
He's just trying to save your money, Will.
I know. I appreciate that. I mean, it was very nice of them and stuff. I just
hope
they bring him back one of
those. Thief.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. The piece of software that I was talking about is called Reel, as in cinema reel, you know, like movie reel.
Yep.
Moments. Reel Moments.
Reel
Moments. It was only 59p. And it's a real beauty. You can just... I'll tell you what's really fun with it. If you put it in your car and you do like a journey home or something, and you can play back your journey home in about like 2 seconds.
Yeah, just put it in the bracket. That'd be cool.
It's really good. It's really fun.
iStop Motion does have a time-lapse facility as well, where it'll take a picture every 2 seconds or every 4 seconds or every 1 second and that kind of stuff. So
yeah, but does it put it together and make a movie for you?
Yes, it does. It sets it running and it just keeps ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. You can just hear it taking it in the background, and then at the end of it, it dumps it out as a DV file, or it dumps it out as an M4V file.
But that's for the Mac. This is the iPhone, isn't it?
This is only for the Mac, the one that I'm talking about. Yeah, iStop Motion is Mac only.
Yeah. No, this is.
Oh, he's gone. Nope.
Hello?
I hope you're back. Right, it's fine. Right, we'll be back again next week with another episode. We'll have Don McAllister back on then with his brand new iPad 2 that he's now currently getting. He's just tweeted a picture of him stood in Times Square with him about the size of a pin, and it says on the bottom, "I'm the one in white shoes." There you go.
Did he get a black or white one?
Well, he hasn't got to the queue yet. He's still in Times Square messing around, so...
Would you black or white? Would a quick straw poll, black or white?
Oh, God, black for me.
Black.
Will's comfortable with his sexuality. White for Kyle.
Yep.
Alex?
Something new.
Oh, it's got to be black.
Two blacks, one white. Will?
Oh, I don't mind. I'm going to go for 50-50.
Based on the bloke who's had his all his stuff, Nick, you take any colour, yeah. Thanks very much.
Two and a half, one and a half.
Two and a half, one and a half. So the casting vote is with you, Andrew.
Oh, black.
Black. Black wins. There we go. See? White pad, you know.
Sounds like a Michael Jackson song.
There we go. If you ever wanted to know the reason for editing, the last hour and 12 minutes was it. Failing that, we'll see you next week, and we'll promise distinct improvement.